So tonight we're carrying on our exploration of this year's theme at Sanctum Night: cease to do evil, learn to do good, purify the heart. This is the teaching of the Buddha. This is verse 183 of the Dhammapada. And if you missed my introductory talk on that a couple of weeks ago, then it's up on Free Buddhist Audio. If you want to listen to it, you can. So tonight, yes, we're looking at this second part of the phrase, so learn to do good. So it's often talked about in terms of cultivating skillful mental states, which is often talked about in terms of meditation. So we cultivate skillful mental states through mindfulness, through metta. Yeah, so we develop those states in meditation. Of course, mindfulness and metta are not exclusive to meditation. The meditation is like the training ground, if you like, and hopefully that helps those qualities to spill out into our lives. Sometimes when we practice loving kindness consciously or awareness consciously in our lives, actually it affects our meditation, so it can go both ways. But tonight, actually, in terms of learning to do good, I want to continue this exploration of generosity. So Sankaracharya says, generosity is at the heart of the Dharma. It's the heart of the Dharma. And actually, often it's talked about, quite traditionally in the Pali Canon, it's talked about as a fundamental Buddhist virtue. So often, when we think about Buddhism, we think about meditation, we think about developing meditation and skillful mental state through meditation, but actually it's generosity that underpins all of that. It's kind of at the basis of all of that. But most of us, we don't want to do the basics, we don't want to do the foundations, we want to get onto the higher practices, to the wisdom. But actually sometimes we just need to take a step back and look at these more fundamental practices, of which generosity, I think, is a core fundamental practice. So that's what we're going to look at a bit tonight. So the Buddha said, if you knew what I knew about the power of giving, you wouldn't let a single meal pass without sharing some of it. So I think we have to remember that the Buddha had a very different perspective than we do. So he'd seen things as they really are. Yeah, he was in touch with the reality of things. He understood profoundly that there is no separation between self and other, that there is no such thing really as this fixed self, this fixed me and mine, through which most of us live, dominated by this fixed idea of me and mine in here and you and world out there. So he fundamentally saw the world not in those terms of me and mine, you and yours. Yeah, and because of that insight, because of that seeing, that's why he can say this phrase, yeah, if you knew what I knew about the power of giving, you wouldn't let a single meal pass without sharing it. Because he saw that fundamentally we are interconnected, fundamentally what's mine is yours. That things in and of themselves and in ultimate sense do not exist in the sense that they are fixed and permanent. Yeah, they're always changing. So, so that's the Buddha's perspective in a way, and that's why he can talk about generosity, or why he talks about generosity as his fundamental practice, because it is a practice that helps us expand our circles of self-reference. Yeah, so for me, I can give to myself, of course, that's important, like the first stage of the Metta Bhavana. Giving doesn't mean not giving to ourselves sometimes, but I can expand this sense of myself by giving to you or by giving to the world. Yeah, I kind of can break down this this fixed sense I have of me and you by giving. Yeah, so we can expand our sense of influence and our sense of concern to include others and to include the world. So it is actually what we'd call a spiritual death practice. It has the potential to help us break down and to see through and to see things more clearly. So it's a really fundamental practice. When I was thinking about it this morning, I don't know why, I had these three circles in my mind: self, others, and the world. And this isn't a traditional teaching, it was just something that kind of was occurring to me as I was thinking about the practice of generosity. So as I say, when we practice generosity, that might be generosity to yourself, it might be to others, and it might be to the world. And I was thinking about those three spheres, and you'll notice in my drawing that those spheres overlap, yeah? That when we give to ourselves, sometimes giving to ourselves has a positive benefit for others, doesn't it? I tell you, if I'm in a really bad mood, you'll want me to give myself the time to do the metta-bhavana, to have a bit of space, and that will have a positive benefit for you, yeah, for others. So sometimes I need to give to myself to give to you. Sometimes I'm in a really grumpy mood, and actually the best thing is to help other people, and that's going to have a positive benefit on me. So I don't know if you've ever noticed that in your life, but when I lived at Taraloka Retreat Centre, I used to do the bookings. Well, I did lots of different jobs in the 7 years that I lived there, but the first couple of years I did all the booking for the retreat centre, and I really loved that job. It was just really simple. Kind of got people's bookings and filled them in on the sheet and sent them the confirmation, or you helped answer their questions. It's great. I loved it. And but so sometimes I'd wake up in the morning and I'd feel a bit grumpy and a bit, I don't know, something was going on or whatever. Maybe I was irritable with someone. Maybe we'd fallen out over the toaster in the morning. I don't know. And I'd go from the house over the road to our office, which was about 10 metres, the community house and the office, about 10 metres apart. And I'd sit in the office and I would process all these bookings for people. And that would, being generous in that sense of processing other people's bookings, taking the time, taking the care to look after them, would definitely put me in a better mental state. So sometimes helping others helps yourself, yeah? And sometimes you need to help yourself to help others. And that's the same with the world, isn't it? That sometimes we might do something for a collective. So when I say the world, I thought, well, you could include your work, you could include an organisation you care about. It could be the Buddhist Centre, it could be, don't know, anything else. I don't have a life really outside the Buddhist Centre, so it's hard for me to know what that might be, but I'm sure you can come up with some examples. Help me think about some. There's a world, and sometimes that's the same, isn't it? That we need to help ourselves to be able to help the world, and sometimes helping the world is what helps us help ourselves. So these circles, they overlap. So it'd be interesting just to explore in our groups, where does generosity flow easily? Does your generosity flow easily to yourself? Does it flow easily to others? Does it flow easily to the world? Are there places your generosity does not reach? If so, what are they? We could have a look at that. Where does that? And do you experience them as mutually supportive, or do you experience them as a conflict? Like, I can only be so generous, and so do I be generous to others at the exclusion of yourself? So we could just explore that together, yeah? All really good questions, I think, just to explore. So traditionally, the Buddha talks about 7 ways of giving. So this is a traditional list. So the giving of material things, the giving of time, the giving of energy, the giving of fearlessness, the giving of life and limb, the giving of knowledge, and the giving of the Dharma. So you might like to think about your life in terms of that list, or your giving in terms of that list. So all of us will be giving to the world. We will be giving to others. We will be giving to ourselves. So we're all very generous. And generosity is a practice. It's a practice that we can train ourselves to be more generous, in the same way that we can train ourselves to be more kind and more aware. Yeah. So it's a training principle. And it goes all the way to enlightenment, doesn't it? In a way, we have this, the Buddha's mudras, so the mudra of open-handed generosity, traditionally often associated with Ratnasambhava or Green Tara. So this mudra of open-handed generosity. So, you know, you can just have a sense, can't you, of, we can feel that for ourselves, the difference between the tight fist and the open, stretched hand. And can we just give? And this is a training, isn't it? It's a training. Sometimes we find ourselves tight fist, closed, and we have to remember to open. And that's a training, it's a practice. It's not something it doesn't always, we have to train ourselves to do it. So I was reflecting on this list a little bit and reflecting on my own life. And I was thinking about ways in which I'm generous or try to practice generosity. So this isn't a kind of exhaustive list. It was more just like a few examples that came to me this afternoon when I was thinking about it. So I was thinking about cooking. So this is a way that I practice generosity. So I cook a lot for the Buddhist Center. So any of you who have been on the spring retreat or are coming on the spring retreat, you will know I do a lot of cooking. So that's our week-long retreat, and I do all the cooking on the retreat, or I help people do the cooking, a bit of both really. But I love cooking, it's a good skill. And but I do a lot of cooking for the centre here as well, and make quite an effort with cooking. And I know, like, if we've got a festival day or something like that, then I think, okay, big pot of stew coming up, and I'll cook a big pot of stew. And yeah, I like cooking, and it's a way that I think you can give to people through food. It's a way of being generous. So I might not always feel like doing it, but I know it's good, and I know people appreciate it. And I know I appreciate good food, so healthy food, I mean by good food. I'm not one of these foodies. I'm a bulk, healthy food kind of gal, rather than a fussy food kind of gal. Yeah, so I think cooking, that's one way that I practice generosity. I was thinking about writing cards. That's something I do a lot to express generosity. So if someone's done something that I appreciate, I try to write them a card and thank them and encourage them to appreciate others. So some of you will know I launched a little project at Sangha Day last year called the Mudita Project. If you haven't heard about it, then I meant to bring some slips, actually, I forgot. But it's a project. So mudita is this quality of appreciation, of rejoicing, but particularly appreciating or finding joy in the good qualities of others. So I wrote to about 40 people, I think, and expressed what it was that I appreciated about them. And in those cards of appreciation, I put a little piece of paper encouraging them to rejoice in somebody else. So it's like, it's this way of just passing on that appreciation. Anyway, that's a little thing that I do from time to time. But I was also thinking like birthday cards or thank you cards or And sometimes it's not a card, it's just texting someone, isn't it? And remembering, oh, you've got that thing happening today, or you had that thing happening at the weekend, and how is that, you know? So I shouldn't be encouraging you to like be on your phones more than we already are, but I would encourage you to text each other more, you know? Like, think of each other, share that appreciation, take the risk of saying to someone, should we meet up for coffee? Or how was that thing that went at the weekend? Yeah, so all these things are acts of generosity. Acts of generosity. Taking a risk to move towards someone in terms of friendship is a real act of generosity. In a way, I would say offering friendship is the biggest act of generosity that we can give each other. And sometimes that feels like a bit of a risk, doesn't it? Because what if they don't want my friendship? Or what if we don't like each other, or what if they're busy at the weekend and I've just asked them to meet up? Yeah, it's, the world won't end if they say no. So just encourage. So encouragement, that is actually the next thing on my list. So when I was training for ordination into the Tree Mountain Buddhist Order, I had a friend called Vajradarshini. She's still a friend. And when I went on my first retreat at Tiruvannalokka, the Women's Ordination Training Centre, at the end of the retreat, she said, write to me. And I said, all right, I'll write to you. So I told her how I was. I'd been travelling for a year, so it was quite easy to write and say, oh, I'm in Bodh Gaya, and now I'm in Thailand, or whatever. So I just kept in touch with her, like she said. And then next time I went, I was in her group again, and we kind of got to know each other a bit more. And about a couple of weeks after the retreat, I got this very, very simple email from her. And the subject line said, you're so big. And the content of the email said, I can see you all the way from Norfolk. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. And it was just her saying, come on, you're great and you've got potential. And like, probably at that point, I didn't have a lot of confidence. I had a lot of doubt in myself, had a lot of doubt in my practice. You know, and it was just like someone saying, you're bigger than that. You're bigger than your doubt. So I really, in a way, what I give is what I've received. When I was reflecting on this with the team earlier, it was like, that's really what came to me. It's like, often I give. I'm really committed to giving to others what it is that I've received. So I feel that I've received a lot of encouragement and a lot of really positive exemplification. And that encouragement and that positive exemplification has given me the confidence and inspiration to do what I do. So I hope that by giving that encouragement and being a confident role model, that that can help to inspire other people to do whatever it is they want to do. And I totally have confidence that all of you could give each other and others in the Sangha more encouragement, and that would help us all to grow. Because often we can see the best in people more easily than they can see it in themselves. So if you can see the best in your friend, reflect it back to them. Be a mirror. Yeah? Give them that generosity of seeing their true qualities. There's a song in there, isn't there, about true colours and all that, but anyway, let's not go there. So we can really help each other see our potential. Yeah, and I guess that's a lot of what inspires me to do what I do in terms of being chair of the centre. That is, I see my work here as... Well, it's a precious gift to me to have the opportunity to chair the Buddhist Centre, but it's also a gift from me to the world in terms of a giving of my time, a giving of my energy, a giving of my confidence. Yeah, so all those things that I, in a way, manifest through the role. You know, give me the opportunity to give back what it is that I've been given. I remember a conversation I had with Bhante Sankaracharya. Anyway, Sangajivani and I lived together at Taralokha, and we were driving Bhante Sangharakshita back from Taralaka to Birmingham when he lived in Birmingham, just down the road from here. And we talked to him about quite a lot of things, but one of the things we talked to him about in the car was right livelihood. So Buddhism has a really strong value around right livelihood, so livelihood that's of positive benefit to the world. So some of you will know my training is as a physiotherapist, so at some times in my life I've worked in hospitals and various physio departments for the National Health, and giving a lot of that. And some of you know that's a bit of a tension for me, whether, because I love that work actually, and I love serving the world through helping people, especially people, elderly people or people with neurological problems, helping them get the most out of their lives and their mobility through helping them with physio and physio rehab. So that's a real passion for me. But obviously teaching the Dharma is another real passion for me. And although I have had phases where I've done both part-time, wouldn't recommend it, just do one thing, it's much easier. So I choose to do one thing or the other. So when I was in the car with Sankaracharya, I said to him, I was explaining to him about this conflict, you know, about being a physio or teaching the Dharma and kind of not knowing sometimes what was the best use of my energy or my generosity. Yeah. And he said, I remember it well. He said, well, they're both, you know, the physiotherapist is definitely a right livelihood. You know, it's a good livelihood. It helps people. He said, but there's probably more people out there in the world who are going to be physios than there are that are willing to work full-time and teach the Dharma. He said, and the Dharma is the greatest gift. That's what really is going to really change hearts and minds. He said, so if you can do either, he said, teach the Dharma. And I think that's true. I often think about that actually, that there's not very many people that are willing to work full time for Buddhist centres or teaching the Dharma. Partly because we are small institutions and we can't actually employ a lot of people, and partly because not everyone can live on low financial support that the centre can give them. Yeah. So, you know, it's an act of generosity, I think, to work for Buddhist centres. So, yes, so they're the things that came to my mind. Giving cooking, giving cards, giving my time in my life as chair, giving encouragement. I did have a little flurry around giving money, so I do give money. The Buddhist Centre do support me financially, so I don't have a lot of money, but I have probably a couple of £100 spare a month after I paid all my bills, I think, about that. And I probably give about £50 of it away. So I give it small donations between £5 and £12 to 8 different Tree Rant charities. And so all my money goes to charities connected with Tree Rant. And that's because, in a way, on the same principle as the working for the Dharma thing, there's not that many people, relatively speaking, in the world who are going to give to Tree Rant centres or charities. There's much more people that are going to give to Oxfam because they've heard of Oxfam. They're not going to give to the Birmingham Buddhist Centre. It's a shame, really. We could do with a higher profile or something. Yeah, so I do give money as well, and that's really important to me, that even though I don't have loads of spare cash, that I do try and give some of it away. So yes, it's this practice of the open hand of generosity. And when I became chair of the centre, I became very attracted to this figure of Green Tara, who has the one hand in the mudra of fearlessness and one hand in the mudra of generosity. And that's in a way how I see my life expressed through those mudras, that I need a lot of courage and fearlessness to do what I do, and that's giving as open-handedly as I can. And the thing about open-handed generosity is you give with no promise of anything in return. So So you give open-handedly. You give without expectation. And this is the ultimate, really, that we give. And we can give openly and without any expectation in the Buddha's eyes, because the Buddha sees the interconnectedness of all things. And that's the perspective that we're moving towards, and that generosity will help us to move towards.